In 2025, the U.S. Congress established the Rural Health Transformation Program and set an aggressive timeline for states to apply for federal funding for rural health care and for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services to finalize funding awards. Beyond being a rare federal program focused on stabilizing rural health care services, the fund represents a vehicle for advancing the Trump administration's health policy priorities. I'm Stephen Morrissey, Managing Editor of the New England Journal of Medicine. And I'm talking with Carmel Shahar, an assistant clinical professor of law and faculty director of the Health Law and Policy Clinic at Harvard Law School. Professor Shahar has co-authored a perspective article about the Rural Health Transformation Program. Professor Shahar, you write in your perspective article that Congress established this program as a partial remedy for cuts in the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. Given the scope of those cuts, why did policymakers choose to focus on funding rural health care in particular?
I think that there's still a lot of interest and energy in addressing rural health issues across both sides of the aisle. And there was a real sense, especially from Republican senators and congresspeople from red states, that yes, there were going to be a lot of cuts to Medicaid and what was going to be put in place to help counteract some of those cuts when it comes to rural health.
So what instructions were given to states about the application process for this program, and how did they respond to the notice of the funding opportunity?
Well, I think there's a couple of things that it's important to understand about the rural health transformation funding that was available. First of all, the way that it was created in the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, the Budget Reconciliation Act, was that 50% went out according to a formula, but the other 50%, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, had some freedom to design, okay, what factors are we looking for as we allocate that second half of the $50 billion. The other thing that I think is important to appreciate is that this is a program with an incredibly aggressive timeline. So the One Big Beautiful Bill Act happened over the spring and the summer, and the notice of funding opportunity went out on September 15th. States had to submit their applications by November 5th. And the first year awards were announced on December 29th for funding that's going to be distributed over 5 years. For anybody who does anything with government funding, this is warp speed.
And broadly, what was the outcome of the process? Which states are receiving funding and how much are they getting?
So no state is shut out of funding. All states applied and received at least some. The smallest award was for New Jersey, which got $147 million. And the largest award was for Texas that received $281 million.
And what types of rural health projects have the states committed to implementing with this funding?
States have gotten pretty creative here, and a lot of it, I think, is pretty exciting. So North Carolina, for example, which got a little bit over $200 million, proposed to build a system of hubs to link medical, mental health, and social services, which care coordination is incredibly important, especially in rural communities, and also is going to try to incorporate artificial intelligence into its rural healthcare facilities, as well as try to build better access to broadband, because you can have all the digital health in the world, but if you don't have good enough internet to access those tools, then those tools stay in the toolbox.
As you say in your article, along with stabilizing rural healthcare services, the administration is seeking to use this program to influence a range of state health policies. So what types of policies are states going to be rewarded for implementing, and how do those policies support federal priorities?
So from the start, they haven't hit the ball that they see this effort as very connected with the goals of the Make America Healthy Again movement, of which the Secretary of HHS, Robert F. Kennedy, has close ties. When you go to the website for the program, it says one of the first priorities is make rural America healthy again. When you dive into the NOFO, it's a really interesting grab bag of state health priorities. Some of them make me laugh. I think a lot of us remember the Presidential Fitness Awards. I was terrible at gym class, so I have a lot of trauma relating to the Presidential Fitness Awards. But states get a certain number of points if they implement that. Okay, that's a little neither here nor there. We do see other factors that I think really push states into certain policy corners. So, for example, the NOFO tries to reward states that expand the scope of practice for pharmacists, which you could say is a good thing or you could have reservations about. There is a push to eliminate certificate of need requirements, which again, I think a debate can be had. There are some things that are very positive, like including nutrition training and continuing medical education, as well as working on scope of practice expansion and improved access to telehealth services. There's also some things that are feel somewhat concerning. For example, states are rewarded if there's no restriction on short-term limited duration insurance plans, which we've seen evidence tend to not cover a lot of services and don't often meet the health needs of their enrollees.
Is there any indication yet of how substantially these incentives are actually affecting state policymaking?
It's a little hard to parse out the math. And like I said, there was no state that was completely shut out of funding. But it does seem that CMS is taking their policy priorities very seriously, and that states that wrote grants that spoke to those policy priorities were given additional points during the scoring and did see a boost overall in their award amounts.
Finally, moving forward, what opportunities and risks do you see for states and for rural health care organizations that are participating in this program?
So I want to emphasize here that even though the grants have been given, we shouldn't consider this end of the conversation. That states, first of all, promised a lot in their applications, and they're going to need to try to make that a reality. In some cases, they might actually have to go to their state legislature or their state regulators to try to change things. Because CMS will be evaluating, are you meeting the elements listed in their NOFO year after year to keep the funding going? So it's not just you put out a great application, congratulations, here's your 5 years. It's an ongoing conversation with CMS. Are you meeting what we want to see so that you can continue to get this funding?
Thank you, Professor Shahar.